Kim Wagner says that when you've been transformed by the power of the gospel, you can make a big impact on the people around you.
When that kind of transformation takes place and begins to affect a whole nation and culture, mm-hmm. people will know that our God is God. Mm-hmm. That's why I get so pumped about this, because
right.
I want people to know that God is God. He is who He says He is. He is powerful. He is able to transform. His word is truth. And the culture will know that.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Waldemuth, author of Adorned. For April 29th, 2022, I'm Dana Gresh. The basic truths you believe will influence every other part of your life. So when Revive Our Hearts was crafting a document called The True Woman Manifesto, we started with basic truths. Nancy's been teaching through these in a series called Foundations of the True Woman Manifesto. Today, we want to pause and reflect on these foundational truths with pastors' wives, Holly Eliff and Kim Wagner. Here's Nancy to launch that conversation.
You know, Kim and Holly, as I've spent the last weeks thinking through this series and how to teach through the True Woman Manifesto, and then over these last days as I've been actually teaching the series, it's brought back a lot of memories of True Woman 08 when this document was first released. And I think that what that did for all of us was say, you're not alone in this.
Right.
There are other women. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we are few compared to the whole world out there. And once we left there, we realized in the blogosphere
right.
how countercultural this is. Mm-hmm. But to realize in that one place, there were a lot of women representing a lot of other women out there who really do have a heart for truth and just needed the encouragement and the courage to speak it, to go out and live it, was, I think, just a very touching thing to me. And that's when I realized this is not just Nancy and Kim and Holly and a few of us. God is raising up
right.
an army of women.
Yeah.
Who are still a remnant, still in the minority, definitely, but who love Him, who love His kingdom, and faltering and frail as we are, really want our lives to make a difference. And I can't help but wonder how many of the women there, and for whom this document is really an encapsulation of something that God's Word teaches that they have never seen lived out in a significant way.
Right, right. That's what I find so helpful about this. You know, as you were teaching through this series, there was a woman here at the recording studio that mentioned, she said, you know, I was a feminazi before I encountered Revive Our Hearts, but I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up as a young woman, I loved the Lord. I loved His Word. But I couldn't articulate what a biblical woman was, and I think just hearing terms like that even was a turnoff to me, because I kind of pictured wimpy women that liked frilly things. And that's one thing I appreciated so much about how John Piper and his message, how he brought out the truth. This is the truth. That wimpy theology makes wimpy women, and that actually living out the truth of God's Word takes great strength of character.
Exactly.
And takes great endurance and perseverance and denial of self, courage, intelligence.
And I think part of, as Mary Cassian would call it, the buzz coming out of True Woman is that younger women who maybe had the same impression I had when I was younger about biblical womanhood are realizing this is not about being any one particular woman in this box. It is about being who I am called to be as a woman under God's authority, believing God's word to be true. That's going to play out in my life differently than it does in someone else's life, but I am affirming that I'm going to be the woman God has called me to be, and that it will not just be the words on that piece of paper, it will be a lifestyle. And I think that is part of what we saw happen at True Woman, is that women began to realize this is about a life calling that will affect future generations.
We've said that as Christian women, we desire to honor God by living countercultural lives that reflect the beauty of Christ and His gospel to our world. Now, I find that inspirational. I find it motivational. I find it gives vision. But what is that going to look like? We're women in different seasons of life, and what are some of the ways? There's no way we can exhaust that here because women are different. But what are some of the practical ways? What might that look like for a woman to reflect the beauty of Christ and His gospel to our world? So let's take it from theological speak, which is the foundation, to flesh it out just a little bit. You're women in different seasons of life. You're ministering to women. Give us some pictures of what practically that might look like for women.
It's making tough, hard choices according to Scripture. And for me, and I've shared this before on Revive Our Hearts, but for me, it's going beyond just seeing it in Scripture or having head knowledge of it, and then taking it home and how I treat my husband and how I treat my children. And I've shared how in the early years of marriage, because I was such a strong, opinionated woman and would state what I believed in a very dogmatic sense, without applying a lot of the truth of Scripture, that the sanctifying aspects, graciousness, gentleness,
humility,
kindness.
It all makes a difference in how
it does
we express those opinions.
It does.
And transformation, I think, is a word that comes to mind when we think about not just the True Woman Conference and the kickoff of that, but the reality of what needs to happen now, that these truths have been put in place. And as I live those out, though, it is not something I just sign my name to. It is something that I choose to do in the walls of my home, so that whether I am at a True Woman Conference or standing in my house, my life is the same. And it's not that we live in this True Woman bubble, you know, where...
We're going to start selling those True Woman bubbles.
If there was one, I would like one. But
you're never going to have one with all those children and grandchildren.
But what it means is that as we live real life, just like our lost neighbor, who may be dealing with the same life issues, we have a different platform from which we view life. And it affects the choices we make. It affects how we relate to each other, how we relate to that lost neighbor. And we are living before them the example of the Christ life that God intends for us to have.
Our lost neighbors, they should be able to look at our lives and say, I know she loves her husband by how she treats her husband. I know she is intentional in loving her children and training her children. They should be able to see and recognize those things within us so that we do have a witness of the power of Christ.
You know, that's interesting. I found myself asking myself recently when responding to pressure and circumstances that were out of my control, how is my response to this situation any different than a woman would respond who didn't know the Lord?
It should be. Mm-hmm.
It should be. But a lot of times it isn't. And that's where this manifesto, this document, calls me back to those moorings. It's not that, you know, something in this manifesto is any different than what's in the Scripture. It's that it calls me back to those markers, the sovereignty of God, that sovereign ruler thing that we've been saying over and over again in this first part. If we will counsel our hearts according to that truth, that He is God and we are not.
Right.
That He has the right to make the final decision, then that is going to affect the way that I handle stress and sorrow and bad news and good news, mm-hmm. for that matter. But so many times I find myself reacting in ways that are so natural rather than supernatural. And that's where I say, this is not true woman behavior. This is not true child of God behavior. This is the same way that anybody in the world would respond naturally if they didn't have the power of God and the Word of God, which I do have, so I can respond differently.
None of us are ever going to be perfect women, but we have we must be women who are consistently looking more like Christ. The longer we live, the more we move along in our lives in each season, so that God is more and more glorified as we live. That's part of the purpose that we're here. I mean, to be conformed to the image of Christ is why we're still here on earth.
And what we've been saying in this series thus far is that women who have been transformed by the power of the gospel can themselves become transformers.
Yeah.
Dream with me for a few minutes here, and just let's kind of imagine what kind of impact an army of true women could have in their communities, in their homes, in their culture, in the darkness and the paganism and the wrong-headed thinking. What difference could this band, this remnant of true women make? What might that look like?
Long marriages, fruitful, happy marriages, people living with purpose in their lives, singles, if they're not married, but living with real purpose and serving others, churches that are lighthouses to their community, that people of integrity, of graciousness, that keep their word. Homes are so affected by the wives or mothers.
It's really the woman who sets the temperature.
Mm-hmm. And when that kind of transformation takes place and begins to affect a whole nation and culture, mm-hmm. people will know that our God is God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I get so pumped about this, because
right.
I want people to know that God is God. He is who He says He is. He is powerful. He is able to transform. His word is truth. And the culture will know that.
And right now, it's the atheists who are winning.
Right.
They're the ones whose books are selling.
Right.
They're the ones who are getting the hearing. And the blurring of distinction between believers and non is not because non-believers are starting to act more like believers. It's because believers are starting to act more like
exactly
non-believers.
Like our God has no power.
Yeah,
He's
right.
not able to transform. And yet He is. But believers are not submitting themselves to that power.
And I think part of that is education. I mean, part of that is recognizing the enemy. So I do believe we have yielded ground for so many years. And what we are seeing now is Christians, because there is so much darkness now, that Christians who choose to walk after Christ, to be controlled and to claim the name of Christ and to live according to His word, now have more opportunity than ever to look different than the culture. And so if we are making those choices, we cannot live in the darkness that is going to become more and more present. I don't think that means we walk around depressed, but I think it means we have to recognize ourselves as an army, as those called of God, to live in, you know, Scripture says we are like aliens cast abroad, and God has planted us where we are so that we can become light and salt, and we will look like light and salt. And I think that's what's encouraging about this to me, is that I think women are recognizing the fact that they cannot do status quo in our present culture. To just live as a nominal, nice person is not sufficient, because the stakes are higher now than they've ever been.
And I think we've got to be honest enough to say that many of us as Christian women have not even lived like nice Christian women. There are right. so many standards that the world has adopted that Christians have adopted as well. I'm thinking, for example, about the coarseness of women today in the media, in the public, the mouthiness, just saying whatever you think without self-control over the tongue. I mean, how many of us struggle with control issues of our own tongues? And how many Christian women can you hear just gossiping, venting? I mean, how often do I do it? And so we're really, in a sense, not only we're not being light, but we're being like the darkness.
Right.
Kim, you talk about long marriages and people staying faithful in their marriages. Well, I don't know if they're so impressed when a marriage stays together when it looks like you're married to the perfect husband, though we all know there isn't one, but you think yours is. Holly, you think yours is. So people look at you guys and they think,
I would use the word perfect.
Perfect for us.
Because I wouldn't, oh my, the pressure of being married to a perfect man. I can't imagine. And I'm grateful And he's a wonderful man.
But somebody might look at your husband's, you, Holly, or you, Kim, and say, if that were my husband, of course I could stay faithful to him. But
right.
What impresses them is when your husband makes a decision that is not a wise one, that has repercussions for your family, and you don't berate him about it.
Right.
You go to the Lord and you ask the Lord to intervene. You handle things with a spirit of humility and gentleness rather than, verbal browbeating. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's countercultural living.
A woman who is governed by God's Spirit. I'm thinking about a gal in our church who had surgery this week, and I went to visit her, and she was still under anesthetic, could not open her eyes or move any part of her body. But as we were talking with her husband, she was quoting scripture. And she could kind of pick up on our conversation. And every once in a while, her husband would say something and she would say, "Oh, but God is so good. Here's what he did." She couldn't open her eyes. She was kind of, her voice was odd, but what was in her
was coming out.
And she has spent so many years in very tough circumstances pursuing the Lord. And now it's in the fabric of who she is. And even at a moment when she was not fully conscious, that's what was coming out of her. And I think to me, that is what thrills my heart, is that we have the opportunity as women to be so governed by God's Spirit that no matter what circumstance we are in, God Himself can pour out of us onto everybody we meet, those we touch, those we encounter, that what they meet will not be us, but will be Christ. And that, when that happens, then God will be set free in this nation, in the world, to do what He desires to do everywhere we go. And it's not about just a woman deciding to look a certain way or sound a certain way. It is about a woman accessing what God has stored up in eternity so that it becomes reality on earth.
And, Holly, that really takes us back to where we have to start and continue all the way, and that is to our personal relationship with the Lord.
Exactly.
This is not a lifestyle that we're called to live apart from Him. It's not a lifestyle we can live apart from Him. And I would hate to think that women would, listen to these programs or take this manifesto and read it and memorize it and study it and say, "I'm going to be a true woman if it kills me." It may,
It would.
Because we, apart from Christ, mm-hmm. have no power to live this life. This is Christ's life.
That's right.
That has to be lived in us. And the starting place is in our relationship with Him. We've talked about reflecting to the world the beauty and the wonder of who Christ is. Well, what is a reflection? We know about how the moon has no light of its own. We look at it in the sky at night and it's beautiful. We say, "Well, it's a beautiful full moon." But the moon has no light. What is the moon doing? It's reflecting the light of the sun. And being a true woman of God that reflects the beauty of Christ and His ways requires that we live in the presence of God.
That's it.
That we reflect His beauty. That means we have to be looking at Him. We have to be focused on Him. If I am looking at, focused on, obsessed with the world's programs and styles and thinking and philosophies and movements, that's what I'm going to reflect.
If I'm focused on the problems in my marriage, if I'm focused on the economic situation, if I'm focused on the circumstances around me, that's why it is so important. Hebrews 12, fix our eyes on Jesus. That is the answer.
And I think about that verse in 2 Corinthians 3, "We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transfigured, the word is, into the same likeness."
Yeah.
From glory to
glory
by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's something we cannot possibly do on our own. We have to first know for sure that we are in relationship with Christ, that there's been a moment in our life where we have come to Him and said, I cannot run my own life. I don't even want to. I want to lay my life at the feet of Christ. And would you take over? Would you take control? Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you do for me what you've done for millions of others and give me a new life? Because the one I have, I've been living in my own strength, and I cannot live my life on my own. And becoming a child of God so that then we do have the ability to access everything He's already prepared for us, and the ability to live this life not because we put it on like a coat, mm-hmm. but because from the inside out, yeah. we reflect Christ.
And perhaps what Holly just shared reflects your heart. And you've been listening to this series. Maybe you've been listening to Revive Our Hearts for a long time, or maybe you're a new listener, but you have realized that you do not have that kind of relationship with Christ. And the rest of this True Woman series, anything else we talk about on Revive Our Hearts, is not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, and it certainly is not going to be within your ability to live out until you start by coming to Christ just as you are, right. and saying, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. So even today, repent of your sin, believe the gospel, place your faith in Jesus Christ. Let Him come into your life, take over your life, and begin the process of making you a true woman of God. And if that's what God has been saying to you today, and you're responding to Him in your heart, wherever you are right now, in your van, in your workplace, in your home, listening on your iPod, reading this transcript on the internet, listening on the radio, then let me encourage you, having said, yes, Lord, to contact us. Let us know that God has been drawing your heart. He has brought you conviction and brought you to faith in Christ. And we'd like to rejoice with you, but also like to send you some resources that will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And then just a word to what may be true of many of our listeners who do have a relationship with Christ, but are trying, apart from the Spirit of God,
right.
to live a life that you cannot live. And let me just encourage you to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot be the wife, the mom, the single woman, the woman in the workplace, the friend, the sister, the daughter, I can't be the woman you made me to be. I need you to be giving that control in my life, to be giving me your power and your grace to live out your life in and through me. Ask the Lord to give you a fresh hunger for Christ so that you can behold Him and beholding Him be transformed into His likeness and then be able to reflect that likeness to others.
Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth has been talking with Holly Eliff and Kim Wagner. You know, every single one of us needs the kind of transformation they've been talking about. And the True Woman Manifesto can be a valuable tool in that process. This document offers you a depth of biblical truth that will stand up to any challenge. At the same time, it's practical, giving you a picture of what it means to be a true woman in your day. Read the True Woman Manifesto at reviveourhearts.com, or when you give a gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of the manifesto along with a 30-day companion guide. It'll help you practically live out these declarations. It's just our way to say thanks for your support of this ministry. So request those resources when you give at reviveourhearts.com or by calling 1-800-569-5959. That number again is 1-800-569-5959. You know, the manifesto was introduced at our first True Woman Conference in 2008. Now, here we are in 2022, getting ready for our next True Woman Conference. It's happening this fall. And the theme is Heaven Rules. I want to invite you to come and spend 3 days with us, September 22nd to 24th, either in Indianapolis in person or online. You'll find courage and comfort as you anchor yourself in the truth that God is in control, no matter what your situation is or what you'll face in the future. You'll hear encouraging and hope-filled messages from Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, Mary Cassian, Chris Brooks, Kay Arthur, Karen Ellis, Johnny Erickson, Tada, and I'm excited to join them as well. Plus, you'll gather along with women from around the world to worship with Keith and Kristen Getty. And you can choose from a variety of topics and speakers for our breakout sessions. And if you want to come early, sign up for our pre-conference. It's on the topic of gender and sexuality. The subtitle is Clarity in an Age of Confusion. Now, if you've been thinking about signing up, I need you to know that tomorrow is the last day to get the lowest price on your registration, so don't wait. Head to our website, reviveourhearts.com, and there you'll find a place to register, along with all the other details about the conference. Of course, you can always give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. One woman can make a big difference. Join us next week as we hear powerful stories of women who have had a big impact on the world around them. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth calls you to live as a true woman in the freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness of Christ.